Are players on the PGA Tour and LIV Golf are in agreement as we start this Thursday, April 4th? I'm Joe Lemire, filling in on the Morning Buzzcast for Abe Madcore, and that's the improbable headline as we begin. A day after Rory McIlroy told Golf Monthly, quote, what's happening is not sustainable right now, and that it's, quote, again, a shame for the overall game of golf, several LIV stars echoed that sentiment. Bryson DeChambeau bemoaned the fact that a number of golf fans seem to have turned away regarding the divide between LIV and the PGA Tour. Speaking at a pre-tournament news conference on Wednesday, Bryson said, there's got to be a way to come together, and it needs to happen fast. It's not a two-year thing. Like, it needs to happen quicker rather than later, just for the good of the sport. Too many people are losing interest. Making some peace before next week's Masters will certainly allow everyone to occupy the storied course in Augusta more amicably. But recognition from the sport's biggest stars is the best way to drive change. As the PGA Tour and LIV continue to be in ongoing negotiations without a resolution appearing imminent. McIlroy cited the Tour's TV ratings, which he said are down a massive 20%. He charitably said LIV Golf's ratings, quote, aren't great, which is an understatement. Its record high 2 months ago was only 432,000 fans. I had the opportunity to interview longtime PGA Tour pro Zach Johnson recently, and when I asked about the Tour's offer of equity to its players, he deferred to his peers on the board and acknowledged that he wasn't an expert on all the financial nuances currently in play. But then he made a salient point. Quote, don't let the game of golf be secondary. It's still got to be for the fans. It's still got to be a level of entertainment. It's still got to be a meritocracy. And it's still got to be the purest form of the game, where you earn what you get in the dirt. I trust that that's still a priority. One certainly hopes so, and that a resolution in the sport happens soon. One sport trending in the other direction right now is baseball, with Major League Baseball sharing some encouraging early viewership numbers. National partners ESPN and Fox both enjoyed double-digit growth over opening weekend a year ago. Fox's first two broadcasts were up 14%, while ESPN's first Sunday night baseball game, which included Shohei Ohtani in a Dodgers uniform, was up 17%. That was also the same gain in the coveted 18 to 49-year-old demographic. The opening day Astros-Yankees game was the most watched stream in MLB TV history and is one of seven games that scored in the top 25 all-time. Admittedly, all digital viewership is growing, but taken in totality, this marks a robust start of the 2024 season. It suggests that the increased enthusiasm of last year's rule changes, like the pitch clock, are sustainable. The product is better. While MLB attendance was up more than 9% last season over 2022, the largest year-over-year jump in two decades, the first week of 2024 shows a modest decline compared to a season ago, but there are some caveats. According to attendance data at Baseball Reference, the total year-over-year difference is a decline of 132,703 fans compared to a similar number of home games for the same hosting teams last year. But roughly 50,000 of that difference can be directly attributed to the games in Korea, as both the Padres and Dodgers were each credited with a home game overseas in a venue that held a capacity just shy of 16,000 fans, whereas those two are routinely drawing between 35,000 and 45,000 per game in Petco Park and Dodger Stadium. The biggest dip so far belongs to the New York Mets, who through four games are averaging nearly 9,600 fewer fans per game, certainly a bit less enthusiasm after the previous year's shopping spree and the disappointing result a year ago. The A's, of course, drew only 45,086 ticket buyers for their seven-game season-opening homestead. That's an average of 6,438 per gate, down nearly 5,000 per game. And having watched some of the recent series with the Red Sox as the visitor these past three games, it's fair to say the decline would have been even worse without a national draw in town as Red Sox Nation travels well. Also of note, the Yankees, Cardinals, and Braves, who ranked 3rd, 4th, and 5th overall in attendance last year, have yet to hold their home openers. Incidentally, Fox will have some additional sports programming on the shoulders of opening day next year. On Wednesday, the Broadcast Network and AEG announced the formation of a new postseason college basketball tournament. The event, which is being called the College Basketball Crown, will include 16 teams, with two each from the Big Ten, Big 12, and Big East, who notably are three conferences with TV rights deals with Fox. An as-yet-unformed committee will pick the other 10 participants. The entirety of the tourney will be held between March 31st and April 6th next year in Las Vegas, with games split between the MGM Grand Garden Arena and T-Mobile Arena, and airing on Fox and FS1. As our Ben Portnoy reported, AEG Global Partnerships will have exclusive rights to all commercial sales and sponsorship activations. Vivid Seats is the exclusive ticketing provider. This now joins a crowded field of March and April hoops. The 68-team March Madness bracket remains and saw great viewership numbers so far this year. But this is now the fourth additional draw, joining the NIT, the College Basketball Invitational, and the CollegeInsider.com tournament. I hope I'm proven wrong, but I hold a bit of skepticism that the demand is there for an additional tournament. Several teams turned down the NIT this year, prompting USA Today's Dane Wolkin to call it practically obsolete, noting that the transfer portal had opened, making free agency a more appealing priority for some programs. There, of course, runs this risk of oversaturating the market, just as I'd say we've had some with the college football bowl season. But certainly the cloud of Fox and AEG have earned this endeavor the benefit of the doubt, so we'll see how it all comes together. The appeal of Vegas and the centralized location for the event certainly make it more appealing travel for fans of participating teams and could create a festive atmosphere for the week. In this new era of NIL deals, there also could be some creative ways to make the games and these tournaments more appealing for teams not in the March Madness bracket. Speaking of travel, as we were a moment ago, UConn men's basketball only finally arrived in Arizona at 3:15 local time in Arizona, which for most of you listening now, it was not that long ago. Terrible rain in the wind northeast yesterday delayed their flights considerably, and as I speak to you just outside New York City on this Thursday morning, there are even a handful of snowflakes on the ground. Speaking of college basketball, star of the LSU women's team, Angel Reese, declared for the WNBA draft in a Vogue photo shoot, noting that she was inspired to do so when Serena Williams used the fashion magazine to announce her retirement a few years ago. "Of course, I like to do everything big," Reese told Vogue. "I didn't want anything to be basic." She's won a national title, earned SEC Player of the Year, been named an All-American, and finished four college seasons. She could have stayed for a fifth due to the extra eligibility due to the pandemic, but there's not much left for her to accomplish in the college game. Early WNBA mock drafts project her as a consensus top 10 pick. Yesterday, TNT Sports, along with the NHL, announced that they will be debuting their first animated Altcast on April 14th at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, using characters such as Bugs Bunny, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Scooby-Doo's Shaggy from the Multiverses video game to recreate the action from that afternoon's Colorado Avalanche Vegas Golden Knights matinee. This, of course, follows the Big City Greens classic, and this weekend we'll see the first regional sports network animated altcast with the Chicago Blackhawks game. This continues to show the popularity of these alternative casts produced by Beyond Sports and using the NHL's tracking data. This will be the first such family-focused altcast from TNT Sports, and it will draw on the intellectual property from Multiverses, a free-to-play video game set to launch next month and created by Warner Brothers Games and Player First Games. The Big City Greens Classic saw plenty of good viewership among families, and TNT is hoping to get in on the same now as well. Tomorrow on Sports Business Journal, I will be revisiting my ChatGPT bracket from the beginning of March Madness, this time focusing on the men's and women's Final Four. You can tune in then to see what artificial intelligence thinks of the final weekend of games. And so I'll call back to the AI-generated sign-off I tried here a few months ago in vain hope it'll catch on. Until next time, this is Joe Lemire signing off. Play hard, work smart, and remember, in the game of sports business, every day is a new opportunity. It's not bad. Just give it time. Enjoy the day, everyone.